T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This one. I have to be honest, modern Latin music.
Ozuna.
It all just kind of like blends together for me.
No, I don't think that's Ozuna. But you have to know this one, Woody. Might be Ozuna.
Yeah. No, I know the sound of it.
This is Tebote. I got this on my phone. That's Ozuna. That's Ozuna.
I know how it sounds. I don't know any of the artists or anything like that. It's really only the Latin music that gets played at the Colombian parties that my parents throw. That music, 70s and 80s salsa. That's where I'm at. I should say.
I can give you some of that.
All right.
Next segment.
Fair enough.
This is Nicky Jam and Ozuna. Tebote and Darrell.
I think Bad Bunny's in it too, but this is the remix.
This is a remix.
Right. I think it's
that's Bad Bunny right there.
Right. Yeah. I think it's Darrell, Casper Mágico, and Neo García. And then like Ozuna, Nicky Jam, Bad Bunny. They all just jumped on the remix. Yeah. All right. Made it better.
When you date Latin chicks, I got my Shazam out all the time. I'm like, ooh, this has got a good beat.
Yeah.
Shazam. Well, don't know what they're saying, but I like it.
All you got to do now is listen to Hawkman and Crowder on Fridays.
You're going to play the jams.
I
feel like I'm going on a boat again on a Sunday going to Nixon.
You know, you don't have to use Shazam. You can just do, hey, Siri, what song is this?
Forget Siri. No, she messes everything up.
No, all you do is say, hey, what song is this?
Right, but Shazam saves.
And it puts it right into your Apple Music.
Right. Shazam saves what you've listened to.
I'm holding Siri up to my earbud to see if it works here at the earbud. That's all I have to do. Just hold the power button. Hey,
but
Siri, what song is this?
Does Siri put it in a playlist for you?
No.
Shazam does.
Really? I didn't know that.
Shazam Apple playlist.
I had no idea.
So whenever you
Shazam Spotify guy, so
it goes straight to your Apple Music. You can add it to whatever
place
you want to.
I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. I don't have
Spotify?
Nope.
No. I mean, you have to make a choice. So I've gone back and forth. So I started on Apple Music. Then I have Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And Amazon Prime has like 85% of what you want. And you can pay for that bit extra for the songs that aren't on Amazon Prime. It's called Amazon Prime Unlimited. Then I had Amazon Prime Unlimited. And then someone offered me their Spotify. So I'm on their Spotify now. Mm. So I'm a free agent music provider guy. Just whichever one makes the most sense for me.
That's it.
Do you use any other people's accounts for things?
Nope.
Like Netflix or anything like that? I feel you can't achieve true independence as a human until you have your own Netflix account.
Well, the thing about Netflix is that you want your own account only because you watch what you watch, so it filters what like.
There's an algorithm to it.
Yeah, so I don't want someone going on my account and then all of a sudden is watching I'm My Little Ponies and all of a sudden now I got all these cartoon movies or foreign films and all of a sudden now I got all these foreign, like, no. Mm-hmm. I like what I like.
Yeah.
Give me my 95% and above and let me check something I don't like, I've never seen before.
Well, so it has to be 95% or above or else you're not into it?
I mean, unless I'm like super bored.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. What would Netflix now... The YouTube algorithm is frighteningly good, but Netflix, I've not had the same experience where it's like based off the things I like, here's what you'd like. I haven't had the same experience in terms of them usually nailing it.
They've done a pretty good job with me. I mean, I'm excited now. I haven't watched it yet, but the new season of Stranger Things came out.
Mm.
So
I haven't seen any of the Stranger Things.
What?
No.
Oh man.
No, the number of things that I haven't
seen. I know. We talked about
it
one time. You haven't seen Game of Thrones. You got to go back and watch it. I get it.
I still haven't seen Chernobyl. Did you see Chernobyl?
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. Amazing.
They did a great job.
Amazing.
Yeah. They did a great job. And now I hear they're doing their own
series. Russia came out, said it was all, they basically said it was a bunch of baloney.
Yep.
And they're making their own. They blame the CIA.
They're making the Americans the bad guys in this one. So the Americans blew that up, huh?
So the explosion that happened in your country, not at all your fault? Okay.
You should watch it, though, Woody. Because, I say this in the nicest possible way, you're a nerd. So, like, you would really enjoy that.
There's a nice way to say it.
There's a nice way to say you're a dork.
I mean, I embraced it. I loved it. Like, I really enjoyed it. There's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah.
Listen. It's a great series. It's very, very impactful and eye-opening because we all, from the outside in, knew what happened. But you don't get the details of the guys that had to go in, how they fixed it, how many people dies, how they died. It was, I mean, if you're a dog lover, I think all dog lovers had to look away in one of
that
the scenes. Really?
That fourth episode's rough. Yeah. But what I loved about it was, like, I mean, I'm 25, right? So I wasn't around during the Soviet era. And we studied it in school or whatever, right? But this kind of gives you an insight into how the Soviet machine operated. And I don't mean specifically, you know, the with chemical warfare, whatever, but just like in general, how Soviet Russia, like the Communist Party operated. And it's an eye-opening 5 hours of like, wow, like how can things work that way and for so long?
It's I can't wait to watch the show. I'll eventually get to it. My busy season is the American soccer season, which is like March to November.
Okay.
So in that off season, I'll get to a lot of this stuff. Right now, I'm actually going two or three episodes at a time on The Office. I'd never done The Office before.
I still haven't done The Office all the way through.
I
potentially might. What? I don't know. Yeah.
No. Do it.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm in the middle of it. I'm like season 2, episode 10, I would say.
And the first season of The Office, if you can get through the first season of The Office.
I disagree.
I heard the first season was bad.
No, it's not bad, but it's
the worst season.
So, no, it's because it's like, we're not used to British television, and that's how British television is. Because like, they obviously bring it in from England. It was a BBC show.
I'm used to it.
So it's a British show, and it has a very British sensibility. Like, the humor is in the dryness of it and in, like, sort of awkward moments and things like that. So it has a little bit of a different feel than your average American, you know, sitcom that's hitting on beats and jokes constantly. Although, the basketball game that happens in the first season is by far the best bit.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous scene. Yeah. Such a good scene.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Speaking of British TV, have you guys seen Killing Eve?
I've not.
You seen Killing Eve?
Is that a Fliximnet?
No, that's a BBC.
BBC America.
British clip. It's about a good-looking woman hitman.
Ooh.
That she is just like a nut job. Like, she just wants to kill. She just literally wants to kill, but she's like a dork.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's cuckoo.
Mm-hmm.
But she's great at what she does. And then there is a agent that is trying to hunt her down.
Mm-hmm.
And she secretly, like, falls in love with her. Like, a weird love for this agent. But yes, she loves to kill. It's all a good show.
I'm on it.
Killing Eve. It's another one.
Sounds great. Did you ask him? This got lost in your explanation, but did you ask Brian, is that a Flix of Net?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because...
I was like, what?
The net of... It's the Flix on the net. That's what Netflix is.
Okay. Okay.
I just, you know, that's what I do.
Flix on the net.
There's actually this great bit that Bill Simmons and Cousin Sal from the Jimmy Kimmel Show used to do, where... Because it was like when all the streaming services were like going at their strongest, and every time you had a conversation with a human, there would be a different show that was talked. Hey, have you seen this yet? It's streaming on Amazon Prime. So they do a bit where it's like, it was like, this show is streaming only at Shell gas stations. You have to check it out. You have to get to the Shell gas station so you can see the show. But yeah, I mean, that's how I feel often about television and movies as well. Is just there's so much that you haven't seen, that it's overwhelming. It's like, where do I begin? So I felt like The Office was talked about enough. Next for me is, I'd probably say Breaking Bad. I never did Breaking Bad.
Sheesh.
So I got to go on that. And on top of that, I have a 4K television, and it's one of the only shows that Netflix didn't produce that's in 4K. So that's probably where I go next.
What do you watch on TV if you haven't watched some of the big... Okay,
sports.
What if there's no sports on?
There's always sports on.
1 a.m. on a Friday.
I'm sleeping.
The answer is supposed to be, I'm out.
Well, yeah, well.
Come
I'm
on.
Sleeping. We established earlier that I'm a dork.
Yeah, you're right.
Right.
You're right.
Okay. Sorry.
I didn't say that. Solana did.
Oh, that's a good point. So Solana in the update mentioned the Kawhi update. I want to get into more next. But again, this has been a strange one. So Chris Carter of First Things First on FS1, who is next to the fake-haired Nick Wright.
Oh, what was that? Did you see that this week?
Yeah, well, it's been developing for some time.
Man, them plugs look good, though. Look good?
Yeah, I mean, he's vociferously denying that it's fake hair.
Oh, okay.
But, like, there's no way. So, for example, when Colin Cowherd moved to Fox from ESPN, everyone remembered him on ESPN as graying, right? And then he showed up on Fox with brown hair.
Yep.
And it's the fakest brown hair. It's one of my favorite things because it's a syndicated radio show. Like, it's on one of the other stations here. And on their website, I think it's still a picture of him with his brown hair. Because they just never updated the picture of Colin Cowherd. And he's gray again because he was obviously coloring his hair.
Yes.
And Nick Wright, like, so basically, I think Bob Costas, for example, colors his hair. Because I just can't imagine that he's in his 70s with hair that is that color.
Yeah.
But we never saw him gray. And so you don't bat an eyelid when you, just like I think that Marv Albert wears a piece. He has to wear a piece. There's no way he's not bald. 100, or at least balding. That's absolutely a piece he's wearing on television, but we never saw him without the piece. And so you see him on television and you don't go, that guy's got fake ass hair. Nick Wright showed up on television bald.
Yeah.
You can't show up on television bald and 3 months later be on television with a full head of hair. You look ridiculous. You can never let the public either, you're going to embrace it as, for example, my hair idol on television is Izzy Gutierrez because he was gray as a young man. He's leaned into being gray. He's going to stay gray. He never went fake and tried to color his hair for television. He's gray. He embraces it. I think he looks really good with gray hair. But you can't show up on TV graying or balding and then reverse it in front of our eyes. You're going to look ridiculous.
You got to embrace your inner Deion Sanders.
Yes.
Did you see Deion?
No.
Deion got the transplant from the back to the front.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go on his Instagram. He's proud of it.
Oh, okay.
He's got a video like,
right.
You see my hair? That's real. That's real. I'm getting it cut. Like, embrace it. Like, yeah. It's all good.
Well,
if I had the money,
just
too,
like, just like Wayne
I was
Rooney
feeling
did.
Everything. I was like, you know what?
Wayne Rooney did, too, didn't he?
Listen.
But, like, he laughs about it. Like, he has fake hair, but it's a subject of joking of him. Like, he jokes about his fake hair. That's what you have to do.
Who was it? Witten? Witten all of a sudden had hair when he came on Monday Night Football.
Very bizarre hair, too.
Right? Who was the other, the running back from the Bears? Forte. If you guys have not seen Matt Forte's Instagram.
All right, I'm on it.
He went from being bald to having an 18-year-old tape line. I said, how the? He had to go to Deion's guy.
I'm on it.
And, go to Matt Forte. He's got a clean 18-year-old tape line.
That's incredible.
Now, we all remember Matt Forte was bald, and when he came into the league, he was balding.
Yeah.
He did not have.
His hair is flawless.
He has an 18-year-old hairline.
Well, he's also got like this, you know, like.
He's got like little curls too. Like little curls on top of his head.
His mustache and beard.
Oh, it's way too perfect. It's square.
It's a square.
He has a square on his face.
It's a square.
It's Jerome Bettis.
Come.
Facial hair.
Perfect square.
No chance.
Perfect square.
No, it's.
By the way.
That's like manicured facial hair.
By the way, Witty, here's the thing with Izzy though. Izzy showed up on TV with gray hair.
Yes.
So. Once you show up with gray hair as a young person,
gotta lean into it.
You have to lean into it, but you can never go back, right? Like, you can never dye it and then go back to having gray hair once you start aging. I understand, like, the Colin Cowherds who they have gray hair because they're getting older. Like, Izzy has gray hair because genetics, whatever.
Yeah.
He has gray hair from a young age, and it is what it is. I can, you know, I don't mind these older guys
having
dying
an aging crisis
on
television.
Yeah, like Colin Cowherd, the older he looks.
He looked ridiculous with the brown hair, though.
Right, but they feel pressured like they're going to get replaced by somebody younger who looks younger. So
if I look old on television, then they're going to replace me with someone who looks younger.
Izzy doesn't have that problem. He's always had gray hair. He's not going to get gray hair because he's getting older. So, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm being lame, but I have some sympathy for the older people who have Just For Men at their bedside the time.
When you said Chicago Bear, I thought you were going to mention Urlacher.
I was going
to. Because Urlacher's got the fake ass
next.
Hair, too.
He was the next one. But to me, Forte.
I had no idea about
all
this.
All of a sudden, he went from
bald. I'm
looking
at his Instagram, and I'm absolutely floored.
To an 18-year-old tape line. And as a black man, we all want 18-year-old tape lines back.
All right, but what are you doing? Like, once your hairline starts going away, like, what do you, what's
I'm
your course
bald.
Of action?
I'm going bald. I don't care.
You're embracing it?
Of course.
Yeah, but don't you think it's easy to say that now when your hair looks nice? Like, what happens in 15 years?
Well, for me, listen, my tape line has gone back. I look back at my pictures in college, and I'm like, dang, bro. I'm trying to, like, comb it forward, like, pull it down. It's going down.
But you're not anywhere near LeBron.
No, I'm not LeBron yet, and he's only a day after me birthday
was. LeBron and Trainwreck is the fakest hair I've ever seen. Flawless looking.
But see, if I was LeBron, I went in the offseason go to Deion's guy. Like, legit.
Yeah.
Like, Deion's hair looks great.
Some of his hair in, like, Cleveland finals looks disastrous.
Yeah.
Like, in the wrong, the wrong filter when people take pictures of the TV with their phones and it's of LeBron. Looks horrific. Why, if, like, he's clearly insecure about his hair. I've seen, like, in soccer, Gonzalo Higuain, who plays for Argentina.
He sucks. He's a bum.
And he was with Chelsea last year. And I went to Man City last year, and I took the tour of the stadium. Yeah. And they have a tunnel club, which is you can buy a VIP enough ticket where you can have dinner, and the tunnel that the players walk out, you can see, it's like a two-sided mirror, and you can see the players walk out, but they can't see you. And so they walk out to the stadium, and the tour guide told us that the best tunnel club moment of the year was Gonzalo Higuain going into the window, fixing his hair, because he is so insecure about being balding, and a group of Man City fans who paid a bunch of money got to watch Gonzalo Higuain be insecure about his baldness in front of everyone. And I'm just going, if you make that much money, fix your damn hair instead of trying to comb it over.
I would. Listen, if I had the money right now, I would go see Dion's guy, so mine wouldn't go back any farther.
Speaking of like one-sided windows, the same thing happened to Hassan, right? Like, isn't there that urban legend that Hassan, when he was in Sacramento, he was checking himself out, like, you know, flexing into one of those mirrors where he can't see the people on the other side, but on the other side was all the Sacramento media, and they were just laughing at him.
Oh my God, it is so good.
You've never heard that, would
No,
you?
I've never heard that story. Either. I've never heard that story.
Really?
I gotta find
this
on the
so
internet.
It's so fitting for him.
Yeah, and there's actually a Hassan Whiteside story I wanted to get to, because he was excited about going to play with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, is we got some shooters. And Myers Leonard, who's came the other way, he can shoot from three. To be honest, not a ton else. We can shoot from three. And Myers Leonard's his wife had a go at Hassan Whiteside on social media.
She can shoot too.
We'll get back. We'll get to that later. But coming up next, more on Kawhi Leonard and his potential free agent pursuit. An update from Chris Carter, which we never actually got to because we've been talking about balding and graying here on WQAM. Radio.com. Radio.com. You're very good at the simple steps. We had Alex Solano's Perreo Fridays has Brian Monroe standing and dancing in the studio. You've got those simple steps.
Oh, hey,
on.
Listen, two to the right, two to the left, put a little swag on that. I got the bachata down, yeah, baby. Hey, again, when you live in South Florida,
yeah, you got
to
know.
If you can't speak the language fluently, you better be able to speak with your hips.
Yeah.
Or else she's going to be like, you know
profound.
What? Nah. Sorry, brother.
Put that on.
Gotta go.
Put that on. If you put that on a bumper sticker, you can't speak with your lips. Speak with
your
hips.
You gotta. Hey, listen, Latin women.
I might change my Twitter bio to that.
You gotta be able
speak,
to. You gotta
speak with your lips.
You gotta
speak
with
your
those hips, man. That'll seal the deal right there. If you can dance,
yeah,
they'll at least give you a conversation.
No doubt.
That'll
no,
give you a conversation.
For sure, yeah.
Oh yeah.
If you can say, "May I have this dance?"
Hey, let's do this.
You're away. Chris Whittingham, Brian Monroe here until 6 p.m. Or thanks to Rohan Nadkarni and Dave Hyde for joining us earlier on in the program. In about half hour, we're talking some Copa America final with Nico Cantor of Univision as we get ready for the Sunday of soccer. I think we can say soccer has claimed Sunday. Last Women's World Cup final, there were about 25 million people that watched us hammer Japan.
Mm.
And I imagine a similar number of people will be watching as the U.S. women, hopefully, hammer the Netherlands.
By the way, that happened exactly
today,
2015.
Yeah.
Today,
yeah, because you have our on this day, as well as our birthdays. Hernan, speaking of the Copa America, Hernan Crespo is 44 today. Happy birthday to him.
Crespo, huh?
Yeah, rapper Royce da 5'9".
Royce da 5'9".
Royce da 5'9".
What is that?
Yeah.
Who?
Rap. Oh, never mind.
Royce?
Go to the next one.
Royce da 5'9"?
Yeah.
That's a name of a rapper?
That's the name of a rapper.
I guess he's not on the Flicks of Net, which is why.
Yeah, he's not on the Flicks of Net.
Is it on the Spotify?
Yeah.
Is it on the music of Apple?
Yeah.
All right.
I got some of his songs.
I'll check it out. Royce da 5'9". Yeah. I guess it's better than another Lil. Rap does not need another Lil.
Oh, we got little everything out there.
But I mean, we've got Royce da 5'9", so he's 42 today.
Okay.
I feel like if you're 42, I haven't heard of you. Like, Royce da 5'9" strikes me as like a 19-year-old SoundClouder.
But here's my question.
Not quite a modern music sensation. Are you very invested
in hip-hop?
So my musical thing is I skim off the top of everything.
Okay.
So, like, the things that are the most popular. So, like, I know some hip-hop. I know pop music. I know rock music.
So
I know
some.
Yeah.
So then you won't know, like, all or invested like...
No,
okay,
yeah,
so
I'm not really invested in any genre.
You probably know some of Royce da 5'9"'s music, though, just because, like, he's not really one of those great underground hip-hop rappers that people pay attention to. He's only relevant because he's had a couple pop songs.
Yeah. All right.
You know, I mean, like he was on Eminem's last album.
Okay.
He had a song with Eminem.
I will check that out. Pauly D is 39 today, as is Kevin Hart. And Megan Rapinoe is 34, speaking of the Women's World Cup. So that is your birthday today.
Rapinoe, baby.
I actually want to talk about an Alex Morgan quote. Maybe do that in the next hour. Because
Alex Morgan, how you doing?
Yeah. Now, did you know, did you read Alex Morgan's quote on the double standard when it comes to men and women celebrating? We have to get to Kawhi. So I'm going to read the quote, and your eyes are going to pop out of your head. And then we'll get to it maybe in the next segment, maybe later. But here's the quote from Alex Morgan on the double standard. Because she did the tea,
sip of the tea.
The sip in the tea, and people having a go at her. And so obviously she's a little backed into a corner and says and shouts double standard. So here is her quote. "I feel like there's some sort of double standard for females in sports," Morgan said to ESPN. "To feel like we have to be humble in our successes and have to celebrate, but not too much or in a limited fashion. You see men celebrating all over the world in big tournaments, grabbing their sacks or whatever it is. And when I look at a sipping cup of tea, I'm a little taken aback by the criticism. Grabbing their sacks or whatever it is."
So can I comment or I got to wait till the next segment?
You can offer your initial impressions, but...
So here's my thing with it. Being a Brit, yes, I get it, the sipping of the tea, but what the grabbing the sack is, you're grabbing the sack at, I'm going to use her quote, at the fans, at whatever. You're not rubbing it into the other team's face, right? So, or being disrespectful and... I'm doing air quotes here.
Yeah.
In some sense of, okay.
It's targeted towards the opponent.
So people always say this. People always say, oh, this we're too sensitive, which I agree. Mm-hmm. Society is way too sensitive.
Sure.
But I looked at and I talked to a Romberg on it there yesterday about it. I said to all the fans out there, imagine if you're a Canes fan, remember when we played North Carolina and the quarterback took the U
and he put it down. Up to down. Yeah.
He put it down. One put it down by his sack, like Alex Morgan said. And the receiver put his arms up, and then he put it down.
Yeah.
I wanted to fight him. I legit wanted to fight him. And I was watching it with some former Canes that played in the NFL and said, I wish I was in a league still. Because when he came across the middle, I would take his head off.
Wasn't it Switzer?
Switzer.
Is it Ryan Switzer of
yes,
North Carolina?
That's him.
Isn't he a pro?
He is.
Yeah.
So I would literally, that's what they said, I would literally take his head off. So I get it where she's saying, like, guys grab their sacks, but... If you're doing something that's blatantly disrespectful to that country,
it's like the symbolism towards the opponent. Where it's
to
like
me,
I mean, what do you guys do?
It's fighting
don't
words.
Don't tell me you were outraged.
No,
sipping the tea.
I was not outraged.
You're saying what we're saying is if the English are not happy about it because it's directly in keeping with something that they do, and it's like you gathered around going, how can we poke fun at our opponent when we celebrate? Then you can't really get mad when they get mad.
Yeah, like I obviously it's Miami. We always say if you don't want to celebrating in the end zone, don't let us score.
Exactly,
which I'm thoroughly with.
Yeah,
but I just counter with people saying like, oh, it's stupid to be sensitive about this, and I said, okay, well, somebody disrespects you like that. Those are fighting words to us. Just like when people do the gator chomps and cross it out and all types of things, Gators fan cuss them out and say, I want to fight them. Like
when University of Miami fans do the bleep you Seminoles.
I love that.
That's my favorite.
See, and I love it, but Seminoles fans hate it.
Of course.
Of course, and that's how
I did it at Doak Campbell, and you know what's funny? This is such a bizarre thought to have. So I went to Doak Campbell for when we beat, I say we because I went to the University of Miami, when the University of Miami beat Florida State at Florida State in 2017. I was there. I was doing the Bleep You Seminole thing. I was having a nice time. And then I thought, you know what? I'm a member of the media. What if they cut to the stands?
And you're there.
And we're because I'm in the University of Miami supporter section, right? So that's like where all the UM fans were on the day. And after University of Miami's successes, they would cut there. And I actually ended up being on television during the game. Thankfully, not in a moment where it's doing the Bleep You Seminoles thing. But I actually thought, what if they catch me on camera doing the Bleep You Seminoles thing? It's actually why, even when I go to like a Canes game or something like that, and something bad happens against us, you know, people put their arms behind their head. It's called the Surrender Cobra, where you put your arms behind your head.
Surrender Cobra.
The Surrender Cobra is like you put your arms behind your head in frustration. I don't do it anymore. I try not to react, have any reaction. Actually, I thought this the most at UMLSU because I went to Dallas to go watch us get hammered, and it was so bad, and I was like legitimately miserable. But I stood there and I actually thought, you know what? I'm 15 rows from the end zone. I have to keep a face. I have to not look like I'm sad or arms behind my head or start looking depressed because the cameras are going to want to find me and put me on television. I can't have that happen.
Yeah, don't find me at a Canes game because it's going to be all downhill from there because I'm bleeping everybody. I'm throwing all types of, whatever you do, don't find me at a game because I ain't doing no cope.
It's the rawness of television. It's what they're looking for, man.
I'm animated, baby. I'm animated.
All right, so we were due a Kawhi Leonard update. Again, we have failed to deliver it.
Gosh.
So I will read the Chris Carter tweet and we'll discuss it next. Again, after looking like we would find out today, we will not on Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi is still undecided and is not going to finalize his decision today. Also, contrary to other reports, Kawhi is not interested in signing a 1 or 2 year deal. When he signs, it will be a long-term contract. When we come back, Chris Whitting and Brian Monroe here on WQM until 6, will react to that tweet from Chris Carter, the Kawhi Whisperer.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Chris Whittingham and Brian Monroe here until 6 in about 20 minutes. We're talking some Copa America finals. Let's talk to Nico Cantor, who is in Rio de Janeiro for the final covering.
Jealous.
Tremendous. The Telemundo set is on Copacabana Beach. It looks incredible.
I'm jealous.
It looks absolutely amazing during the day. Be there on Copacabana. But you have Brazil and Peru on Sunday. And so we'll have some Copa America chat in a bit. Also have the Women's World Cup and the Gold Cup final all taking place on Sunday. We really like the performance of the U.S. men on Wednesday night as they beat Jamaica by 3-1. Things are coming along, and Christian Pulisic playing some good football.
He's that dude. That's why he needs to stay in Europe.
Yeah,
Stay over there. Don't come to the MLS.
Yeah, I mean, he's signed for $53 million for Chelsea.
Yeah.
I mean, he'll be there for a while. But and then the other guy is Weston McKennie too for Schalke in Germany and for the U.S. in midfield was absolutely fantastic in that game. So we have a full Sunday of soccer. We'll talk some of it with Nico Cantor in about 20 minutes. We want to dig into this Kawhi thing. Now it's funny because whenever Woj tweets anything now, it's I just want to know what's happening with Kawhi. Like, give me Kawhi, give me Kawhi, give me Kawhi. And the funny thing is that I looked up today. So LeBron made his two decisions on July 8th and July 10th, took all the meetings, deliberated, and then made the decision. So those actually took longer. And yet in the modern social media age, especially when basically everything kicked off at 6 p.m. on June 30th, and we're almost entirely done by the end of the day, that this impatience is now growing, and it just sort of opens up the questions. Again, the latest update is he's met with everyone, and he's flown back to San Diego, and he won't have a decision today. This is from Chris Carter, who has been a bizarrely plugged-in source on this. Ryan Hollins told a local media member that he is tight with Uncle Dennis, who is the guy who's, you know, Kawhi's main guy in charge of these decisions. And so I think Chris Carter is going to be the one who ends up breaking this news. And so I've added him to my NBA free agency Twitter list to follow in case anything happens. But now we've seen him go back to San Diego and he's undecided. And all I've sort of been trying to figure out this whole time is what does he want out of this? Two-time champion, two-time finals MVP, and has had some injuries over the course of his career, missed an entire season due to injury, and so health would obviously be a primary concern. But because this guy is so publicly shy, because we know so little about him, we're kind of left to try and figure out, well, what does he actually want out of this decision? Does he want to live in Southern California? Rules out Toronto. Does he want to sort of join a superstar team and be on the most famous team that is the traveling circus for 82 games? That would be the Lakers. Does he want to try and defend his title, stay in Toronto? Like, we don't know what the things he would be looking for. And so we're kind of just and this is really the worst place to be. And Dan Wojcicki of the Los Angeles Times tweeted this out today. I think the thing that we've most learned about this process is it's okay to say, I don't know. None of us have any idea. We're trying to figure out this dude, but in the interim, we've got sports talk to fill, and fans are genuinely interested in, really for me, outside of the Lakers, Clippers, and Raptors fans, the thing that you're most interested in is Kawhi Leonard going to ruin the NBA? I'm actually really excited about the next NBA season to start, and if Kawhi ends up going to the Lakers, I'm not going to be excited anymore.
Yeah, well,
It will sap my interest in next NBA season.
That was your first mistake, trying to figure out
exactly
Kawhi Leonard. Nobody knows the dude.
Yeah.
Literally, nobody. And I love it. I love that we have a superstar that we don't all get to see his personal life and get to know him.
Well, and his life unfold on an hourly basis. Like, you can follow some athletes and know what they're doing
everywhere.
Every hour of every day.
Everything.
The Insta story fragments barely take up any inches on your phone screen.
And I love that he is such a quiet dude and just goes about his business, loves to play basketball, obviously loves his family and his friends, and that's it. Keeps it about his business. And again, we get to fill up a lot of airtime trying to figure out what this dude's going to say and do.
Yeah.
But no one knows. And the funniest thing is all these guys that break all these stories and all of the sources in the plug, they have no idea.
Yeah. And only Chris Carter does.
Only Chris Carter. And that which makes it a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
In the day and age of everybody's leaking everything and social media, we have somebody that nobody knows and nobody can give the information out. And he gets to do it himself. I mean, not like, oh, well, we know KD's going here and he's going to drop a video. Well, no one's going to follow that account anymore because we all know where he's going. So everybody unfollows like you did that day.
Yeah.
So it's great to see. I truly hope. I was hoping that he was going to sign a 2-year deal, 1-1, for the Raptors to defend his championship and then go on to the Clippers or somebody else. But I just hope he doesn't go to the Lakers. I really hope he doesn't go to the Lakers. I just want him to go somewhere else and just, and for once in the last, I don't know, 10 years, we have no idea who's going to win the championship if he does not go to the Lakers. Like, literally, you could toss it up. Like,
I mean, if he stays with Toronto, they're the favorites, right? Because there is no Golden State. And I would say, healthy Golden State was the best team last year. Non-healthy Golden State, Toronto was the best team.
Yeah.
But they went to 6 games with Milwaukee, who were 2-0 up in that series. They played Philly in that Eastern playoffs. And in a game 7, Kawhi Leonard beat them with the ball bouncing on the rim 1,000 times.
Yep.
The ball bounces out, they might go out in the second round.
Yep.
And so Toronto, even with Kawhi coming back, is still a member of the pack in a way that Kawhi with LeBron and Anthony Davis just isn't.
No.
They are clearly the favorite. Even Ron Carney was on with us earlier and made the point, which I think is a decent one, that in the NBA, you can't have dudes that you can't play.
No.
Which, like, and you've just seen these in playoffs again and again, where if 5, 6, 7, and 8 can't stay on the floor, it's hard to win. And I think the Lakers are going to have a team of those guys if they don't have any salary cap space. So that's your one saving grace. But I don't think we've ever had a combination of players as good as Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Kawhi Leonard. That's like 3 of the 5 best players in the league. 3 of the 6 or 7. I mean, depending on what you believe about Anthony Davis.
I'd say maybe the Showtime Lakers could get close to it. I mean, you're talking about Kareem.
I'm talking about it. And yeah, so Kareem, but it's like, it's late Kareem. It's like 38, 39, 40 Kareem.
Yeah.
And then Magic obviously is, you know, well and truly in that conversation, but no one else really on that team was, on an individual basis, they could have their own team.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy Butler's coming here and saying, I want, like, part of the thing is he wants to have his own team. I mean, we don't even, like, Jimmy Butler is not a guy where you give him your own team and you win the championship.
Yeah, no.
We know him not to be that.
Yeah.
And I would say all 3 of those guys are that guy. Where if you give Anthony Davis his own team and it's competently run, okay, like
he had his own team. And he won 1 series?
With, like, Drew Holiday.
He had DeMarcus Cousins.
I mean, for half a season, then he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, but he still had him.
Yeah.
And Drew Holiday's not a scrub.
No, I'm not. But, like, is he your second best player on a good team?
Okay, who's the second best player on the Raptors?
It's probably Lowry.
Okay, so who would you take, Drew Holiday or Lowry?
Why'd you say that, like, with the least amount of confidence
It's either him or Siakam, because Monroe's leading me to a trap. But, I mean, Toronto, even beyond Lowry and Siakam, or Gasol, but, like, they've got 8 legit dudes that are really good. And
they
the Pelicans,
8 legit dudes that actually showed up going on the whole year.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody said the Raptors had 8 legit dudes.
Yes, they did. Toronto had 59 games the year before.
And
Toronto was good. before Kawhi got there.
Give me some clip that somebody said they had eight dudes that could play.
They got eight dudes.
No, but a reason why that's actually a legit statement is because Kawhi missed a lot of games last year.
Yeah, he missed 22 games.
I think they only lost like four of those games or five of those. Like, they had an insane record with Kawhi out.
Who did they play?
They played an NBA regular season schedule.
I get you, but everybody always says, oh, with this dude out, show me the teams they played. Did he play the bottom tier of the East when he was out? They should be able to beat them without him.
Go through his game logs?
Yes, I would. Because it makes a huge difference when people say, oh, they still won this and won that. Mm-hmm. Okay, who did they play?
In the regular season. Look, what I'm saying is Kawhi Leonard in the postseason is the difference, right?
110%.
He is the guy that is the difference between Toronto the year before winning 59 games and being the one seed and going out to Cleveland because they're just not as good as them, and ultimately, what has happened to the Raptors this year by virtue of having him in the team.
But LeBron James in the East, too.
You know what? I have to go to a different website to find the games that he didn't play in. But, to me, Kawhi is obviously that guy. I think Anthony Davis is that guy, too, though. Like, I think Anthony Davis, in terms of the numbers that he's put up, all he needed as a running mate was Rajon Rondo to get to the second round. Rajon Rondo got him to the second round. They hammered Portland in that first round series. New Orleans was a team that was poorly built. I mean, they signed, you know, Omer Asik. They traded for Omer Asik as a long-term contract and then extended him. Solomon Hill and all these guys that I think they really poorly put that team together. And that's why Anthony Davis, you don't think of him in that way. But, I mean, if Anthony Davis isn't that, well, he is by virtue of the scarcity of talent, right?
Yeah.
You're going to give Anthony Davis a team because he's the eighth best player in the NBA. Maybe he's not good enough to lead you to a championship on his own, but he's on the very periphery of that. And you have LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard, who we know to be that on the same team, too.
Did you put him at the eighth best player in the NBA?
I mean, to be honest with you, I need to at some point rank the NBA players.
Yeah, you do.
Because
talent-wise, he's not eight.
He's better than that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay. But what I'm saying is that, so if we're saying Anthony Davis isn't good enough to have his own team and win the championship, then we're saying that group of players is what? LeBron, Harden, Steph Curry.
To win the championship?
To win the championship.
Can't put Harden in there.
Well, okay. We can say that if Chris Paul didn't get hurt against the Golden State Warriors in the finals in 2017, that they could have won the championship.
We could say a lot of things.
No, I understand.
We could say if Draymond Green didn't get suspended that one year.
Well, then if you're only going players who have won the championship, then it's Steph, KD,
LeBron
and Kawhi. That's it.
D-Wade.
Well, not anymore.
What? I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, I'm saying. I'm saying, in the last 15 years. I'm saying currently in the league.
Currently in the league.
Okay. So Dirk would have been in that conversation for you. Give him your own team and you can win the championship. Because, like, to me, Dirk is on the level of, you know, Harden and some of these guys who've been banging on the door. Like, I think their teams are good enough to win the championship. They just, on the day, lost to Golden State in seven. I don't think that doesn't mean that you can't win a championship with James Harden. Like you're building your team around James Harden, and you're feeling pretty good that we can eventually win the championship because James Harden is that good.
I just don't think ISO Ball is ever going to win a championship.
I agree. Like, I don't like how it looks on most nights. I don't like, with James Harden, the fact that it just, on a night-to-night basis, you don't feel good about what you're watching, and the fact that he doesn't get teammates involved, and the style of play is poor, and ultimately when it comes down to it, it's hard in the postseason when you don't have teammates involved at that level to keep them all engaged. And then Chris Paul comes in and goes, wait, I'm Chris Paul, I've been one of the league's best point guards for 12 years, I'm just going to stand around and watch you play basketball? This ain't fun.
Yeah.
Like, I agree with you. I think it's hard. But to me, the fact that James Harden is that close, like, I would say he's probably in that conversation, right? You got to a Western Finals Game 7 against one of the best teams ever. I think James Harden is there. But after, so you have, would you say Giannis is there?
Not yet.
I mean,
not yet.
In terms of if you're building a team and you want a guy to lead the team that can win the championship.
That's two different discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Starting points to surround the player, yeah, you could put Giannis in there. Is he good enough right now to carry a team to the championship? Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, we've proven that he wasn't.
Yeah. So
he's got a $178 million man next to him, so it's not like he's playing with scrubs.
I'm now on the Kawhi Leonard game logs where we can map out the opponents. So missed the third game of the season at Washington, which they won. 10th game at the Lakers, which they won. At Utah, which they won. That's a good result.
Utah at the beginning of the season wasn't the same at the end of the season.
That's a good point.
Super young guys.
Also, the Lakers are better at the beginning of the season than they were by
the end. I'll give them that one.
At Chicago, which they won by 39.
Bums.
At Atlanta, which they won by 16. Bums. At the Golden State Warriors, which they won by 20. Bam!
And they weren't playing their whole team that game. Remember that. They weren't full strength.
Yeah, that's a good point. But, I mean, Kawhi.
That's what I'm saying.
Kawhi's not there, and you beat the Golden State Warriors.
All those teams you just said, you named the Wizards, the Hawks, the Bulls.
Hang on a second. On the night they beat the Warriors, Klay, Durant, Curry, and Draymond all played.
For a little bit, not the whole game.
Klay played 34 minutes. Durant played 33. Steph, 32. They beat him by 20.
It's not like they were 4-1 without Kawhi.
One at the Clippers. It's one home against the Pacers.
A large enough sample size, for sure. I'm not saying they're better without Kawhi. Obviously, they're not. But to say that, you know, they're a bunch of bums, like, no. Like, they had, like, 6 or 7 legit
one at Miami. By 21 without
Kawhi?
Everything.
I mean, that proves
everything.
Proves
absolutely everything.
But this, that roster, come on, man. Jesus.
I mean, they beat the Knicks by 36. Clearly, Kawhi, the Raptors thought Kawhi Leonard better.
We just named the bottom half of the Eastern Conference. Literally.
They won at New York. They won at Chicago.
Okay.
I mean, hammering everyone. This is actually, by the way, part of what we just sort of went through, which is Kawhi. I'm going to try and go through it right now in terms of consecutive games played. It seems like there's 9 consecutive games played. 9 consecutive games was the most he played in the regular season.
That's impressive.
But Toronto did it strategically, where we looked at the schedule and go, yeah, we'll skip. We'll have you skip the Bulls game. We can beat the Bulls without you, and that's actually part of their case. Part of Toronto's case is, hey, we only had you play 60 games. This is what we think you should be playing. 60 games a season. And we're going to figure out how to win games without you and strategically lay it out so we have a good season and you're fresh for the postseason. That's actually part of their argument.
You don't think the Lakers have the same thing?
No.
Have to play every game because we have AD, we have Anthony Davis and
LeBron.
But you're
going to be surrounded by bums. Like,
does it make a difference?
I don't think the Lakers are going to be able to win games without one of those guys on a nightly basis.
For sure.
Because you're going to be filling them out with 36 minutes of slop. Like, I mean, Cleveland couldn't win games with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love as their second and third guys. Like, Cleveland's record without LeBron was abysmal.
Right, but there's a difference between Kyrie and Kevin Love and LeBron and AD. Like, I think there's a big difference there. I think even with bums, even filling out the roster
It's LeBron, AD, Kuzma, and bums.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Yeah. How we can't say it's going to be true bums, because if you read all the reports, you might get a, God, what's his name? He just got traded.
Kyle Korver, who's going to get bought out.
You got Iguodala that go there. You can't say he's a bum. Defensively, he can hold his own.
Yeah.
You're going to get a Jeff Green.
He goes there for the vets minimum?
Yeah.
Some teams that have some money.
Hey, DeMarcus Cousins is still looking for some of that money.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's looking for that money.
Well, I think everyone's waiting around for when
Kawhi.
When Kawhi picks a team, the Clippers and the Raptors are going to start, or the Lakers and the Clippers and the Lakers and the Raptors are going to start looking for guys to go for.
You're always going to get those teams, those players that shock everyone and say, I'll take the vet minimum to chase a ring.
The difference between what happened in 2012 with Miami and what's happening now is the amount of money that's on the salary cap.
That's true.
So, like, it was like $62 million back then. It's $112 million now. And so, like, Golden State couldn't find that guy last year. They couldn't find him. They tried Nick Young. They tried Jarepko. They tried to bring back Andrew Bogut. They couldn't find a guy to play with them. Golden State. That's a guaranteed championship. Couldn't find the guy. So I don't know if there's such a willingness. All right, we're a bit late for a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Nico Cantor. We're talking some Copa America.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.